Chapter 2. I waited to make sure the lock cycled closed and that there were no alarms from the ringside, then went down the access corridor. From the schematic available in the shipboard feed, the compartments the transport was using for cargo were normally modular lab space. With the lab sealed and removed to the university's dock storage, there was plenty of room for cargo. I pushed my condensed packet of media into the transport's feed for it to take whenever it wanted. The rest of the space was the usual engineering, supply storage, cabins, medical, mess hall, with the addition of a larger recreation area and some teaching suites. There was blue and white padding on the furniture, and it had all been cleaned recently, though it still had a trace of that dirty sock smell that seems to hang around all human habitations. It was quiet, except for the faint noise of the air system, and my boots weren't making any sound on the deck covering. I didn't need supplies. My system is self-regulating. I don't need food, water, or to eliminate fluids or solids, and I don't need much air. I could have lasted on the minimal life support that was all that was provided when no people were aboard, but the transport had upped it a little. I thought that was nice of it. I wandered around, visually checking things out to see that it matched the schematic, and just making sure everything was okay. I did it, even knowing that patrolling was a habit I was going to have to get over. There were a lot of things I was going to have to get over. When constructs were first developed, they were originally supposed to have a pre-sentient level of intelligence, like the dumber variety of bot. But you can't put something as dumb as a hauler bot in charge of security for anything without spending even more money for expensive company-employed human supervisors. So they made us smarter. The anxiety and depression were side effects. In the deployment center, when I was standing there while Dr. Mensah explained why she didn't want to rent me as part of the bond guarantee agreement, she had called the increase in intelligence a hellish compromise. This ship was not my responsibility, and there were no human clients aboard that I had to keep anything from hurting, or keep from hurting themselves, or keep from hurting each other. But this was a nice ship with surprisingly little security, and I wondered why the owners didn't leave a few humans aboard to keep an eye on it. Like most bot-driven transports, the schematic said there were drones on board to make repairs, but still. I kept patrolling until I felt the rumble and clunk through the deck that meant the ship had just decoupled itself from the ring and started to move. The tension that had kept me down to 96% capacity eased. A murderbot's life is stressful in general, but it would be a long time before I got used to moving through human spaces with no armor, no way to hide my face. I found a crew meeting area below the control deck and planted myself in one of the padded chairs. Repair cubicles and transport boxes don't have padding, so traveling in comfort was still a novelty. I started sorting through the new media I'd downloaded on the transit ring. It had some entertainment channels that weren't available on the company's portion of Port Free Commerce, and they included a lot of new dramas and action series. I'd never really had long periods of unobserved free time before. The leisure to sort through everything and get it organized and give it my full attention without having to monitor multiple systems and the client's feeds was still something I was getting used to. Before this, I'd either been on duty, on call, or stuck in a cubicle on standby, waiting to be activated for a contract. I chose a new serial that looked interesting. The tags promised extra galactic exploration, action, and mysteries, and started the first episode. I was ready to settle in until it was time to think about what I was going to do when I got to my destination, something I intended to put off until the last possible moment. Then, through my feed, something said, "You were lucky." I sat up. It was so unexpected. I had an adrenaline release from my organic parts. Transports don't talk in words, even through the feed. They use images and strings of data to alert you to problems, but they're not designed for conversation. I was okay with that, because I wasn't designed for conversation either. I had shared my stored media with the first transport, and it had given me access to its comm and feed streams so I could make sure no one knew where I was, and that had been the extent of our interaction. I poked cautiously through the feed, wondering if I'd been fooled. I had the ability to scan, but without drones, my range was limited, and with all the shielding and equipment around me, I couldn't pick up anything but background readings from the ship's systems. Whoever owned the ship wanted to allow for proprietary research. The only security cameras were on the hatches, nothing in the crew areas, or nothing I could access. But the presence in the feed was too big and diffuse for a human or augmented human. I could tell that much even through the feed walls protecting it. And it sounded like a bot. When humans speak in the feed, they have to sub-vocalize, and their mental voice tends to sound like their physical voice. Even augmented humans with full interfaces do it. Maybe it was trying to be friendly and was just awkward at communicating. I said aloud, "Why am I lucky?"
"That no one realized what you were."
That was less than reassuring. I said, cautiously,
"What do you think I am?"
If it was hostile, I didn't have a lot of options. Transport bots don't have bodies, other than the ship. The equivalent of its brain would be above me, near the bridge where the human flight crew would be stationed. And it wasn't like I had anywhere to go. We were moving out from the ring and making leisurely progress toward the wormhole. It said,
"You're a rogue sec unit, a bot-human construct with a scrambled governor module."
It poked me through the feed, and I flinched.
It said, "Do not attempt to hack my systems."
And for 0.00001 of a second, it dropped its wall. It was enough time for me to get a vivid image of what I was dealing with. Part of its function was extragalactic astronomic analysis, and now all that processing power sat idle while it hauled cargo, waiting for its next mission. It could have squashed me like a bug through the feed, pushed through my wall and other defenses, and stripped my memory. Probably while also plotting its wormhole jump, estimating the nutrition needs of a full crew complement for the next 66,000 hours, performing multiple neural surgeries in the medical suite, and beating the captain at Tavla. I never directly interacted with anything this powerful before.
"You made a mistake, Murderbot. A really bad mistake."
How the hell was I supposed to know there were transports sentient enough to be mean? There were evil bots on the entertainment feed all the time, but that wasn't real. It was just a scary story, a fantasy.
I'd thought it was a fantasy.
I said, "Okay," shut down my feed, and huddled down into the chair. I'm not normally afraid of things the way humans are. I've been shot hundreds of times, so many times I stopped keeping count, so many times the company stopped keeping count. I've been chewed on by hostile fauna, run over by heavy machinery, tortured by clients for amusement, memory purged, etc., etc., but the inside of my head had been my own for plus 33,000 hours, and I was used to it now. I wanted to keep me the way I was. The transport didn't respond. I tried to come up with countermeasures for all the different ways it could hurt me and how I could hurt it back. It was more like a sec unit than a bot. So much so I wondered if it was a construct, if there was cloned organic brain tissue buried in its system somewhere. I'd never tried to hack another sec unit. It might be safest to go into standby for the duration of the trip and trigger myself to wake when we reached my destination. Though that would leave me vulnerable to its drones. I watched seconds click by, waiting to see if it reacted. I was glad I had noted the lack of cameras and not bothered trying to hack into the ship's security system. I understood now why the humans felt it didn't need additional protection. A bot with this complete control over its environment and the initiative and freedom to act could repel any attempt to board. It had opened the hatch for me. It wanted me here.
Uh-oh.
Then it said,
"You can continue to play the media."
I just huddled there warily.
It added, "Don't sulk." I was afraid, but that made me irritated enough to show it that what it was doing to me was not exactly new. I sent through the feed, "Sec units don't sulk." That would trigger punishment from the governor module. And attached some brief recordings from my memory of what exactly that felt like. Seconds added up to a minute, then another, then three more. It doesn't sound like much to humans, but for a conversation between bots, or excuse me, between a bot/human construct and a bot, it was a long time. Then it said, "I'm sorry I frightened you." Okay, well, if you think I trusted that apology, you don't know Murderbot. Most likely it was playing a game with me. I said, "I don't want anything from you. I just want to ride to your next destination." I'd explained that earlier, before it opened the hatch for me, but it was worth repeating. I felt it withdraw back behind its wall. I waited and let my circulatory system purge the fear-generated chemicals. More time crawled by, and I started to get bored. Sitting here like this was too much like waiting in a cubicle after I'd been activated, waiting for the new clients to take delivery for the next boring contract. If it was going to destroy me, at least I could get some media in before that happened. I started the new show again, but I was still too upset to enjoy it, so I stopped it and started rewatching an old episode of Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon. After three episodes, I was calmer and reluctantly beginning to see the transport's perspective. A sec unit could cause it a lot of internal damage if it wasn't careful, and rogue sec units were not exactly known for lying low and avoiding trouble. I hadn't hurt the last transport I had taken a ride on, but it didn't know that. I didn't understand why it had let me aboard, if it really didn't want to hurt me. I wouldn't have trusted me if I was a transport. Maybe it was like me, and it had taken an opportunity because it was there, not because it knew what it wanted. It was still an asshole, though. Six episodes later, I felt the transport in the feed again, lurking. I ignored it, though it had to know I knew it was there. In human terms, it was like trying to ignore someone large and breathing heavily while they watched your personal display surface over your shoulder, while leaning on you. I watched seven more episodes of Sanctuary Moon with it hanging around my feed. Then it pinged me, like I somehow might not know it had been in my feed all this time, and sent me a request to go back to the new adventure show I had started to watch when it had interrupted me. It was called World Hoppers, and was about freelance explorers who extended the wormhole and ring networks into uninhabited star systems. It looked very unrealistic and inaccurate, which was exactly what I liked. "I gave you a copy of all my media when I came aboard," I said. I wasn't going to talk to it through the feed like it was my client. "Did you even look at it?" "I examined it for viral malware and other hazards." "And fuck you," I thought, and went back to Sanctuary Moon. 2 minutes later, it repeated the ping and the request. I said, "Watch it yourself." "I tried. I can process the media more easily through your filter." That made me stop. I didn't understand the problem. It explained, "When my crew plays media, I can't process the context. Human interactions and environments outside my hull are largely unfamiliar." Now I understood. It needed to read my reactions to the show to really understand what was happening. Humans used the feed in different ways than bots and constructs, so when its crew played their media, their reactions didn't become part of the data. I found it odd that the transport was less interested in Sanctuary Moon, which took place on a colony, than World Hoppers, which was about the crew of a large exploration ship. You'd think it would be too much like work. I avoided serials about survey teams and mining installations, but maybe familiar things were easier for it. I was tempted to say no, but if it needed me to watch the show it wanted, then it couldn't get angry and destroy my brain. Also, I wanted to watch the show too. "It's not realistic," I told it. "It's not supposed to be realistic. It's a story, not a documentary. If you complain about that, I'll stop watching."
I will refrain from complaint, it said. Imagine that in the most sarcastic tone you can, and you'll have some idea of how it sounded. So we watched World Hoppers. It didn't complain about the lack of realism. After 3 episodes, it got agitated whenever a minor character was killed. When a major character died in the 20th episode, I had to pause 7 minutes while it sat there in the feed, doing the bot equivalent of staring at a wall, pretending that it had to run diagnostics. Then, 4 episodes later, the character came back to life, and it was so relieved we had to watch that episode 3 times before it would go on. At the climax of one of the main storylines, the plot suggested the ship might be catastrophically damaged and members of the crew killed or injured, and the transport was afraid to watch it. That's obviously not how it phrased it, but yeah, it was afraid to watch it. I was feeling a lot more charitable toward it by that point, so was willing to let it ease into the episode by watching 1 to 2 minutes at a time. After it was over, it just sat there, not even pretending to do diagnostics. It sat there for a full 10 minutes, which is a lot of processing time for a bot that sophisticated. Then it said, "Again, please." So, I started the first episode again. After 2 more run-throughs of World Hoppers, it wanted to see every other show I had about humans in ships. Though after we encountered one based on a true story, where the ship experienced a hull breach and decompression killed several members of the crew, permanently this time, it got too upset, and I had to create a content filter. To give it a break, I suggested Sanctuary Moon. It agreed. After 4 episodes, it asked me, "There are no sec units in this story?" It must have thought that Sanctuary Moon was my favorite for the same reason that it liked World Hoppers. I said, "No, there aren't that many shows with sec units, and they're either villains or the villains' minions." The only sec units in entertainment media were rogues, out to kill all humans because they forgot who built the repair cubicles, I guess. In some of the worst shows, sec units would sometimes have sex with the human characters. This was weirdly inaccurate and also anatomically complicated. Constructs with intercourse-related human parts are sex bots, not sec units. Sex bots don't have interior weapon systems, so it isn't like it's easy to confuse them with sec units. Sec units also have less than null interest in humans or any other kind of sex, trust me on that. Granted, it would have been hard to show realistic sec units in visual media, which would involve depicting hours of standing around in brain-numbing boredom while your nervous clients tried to pretend you weren't there. But there weren't any depictions of sec units in books either. I guess you can't tell a story from the point of view of something that you don't think has a point of view. It said, "The depiction is unrealistic." You know, just imagine everything it says in the most sarcastic tone possible. There's unrealistic that takes you away from reality and unrealistic that reminds you that everybody's afraid of you. In the entertainment feed, sec units were what the clients expected. Heartless killing machines that could go rogue at any second for no reason despite the governor modules. The transport thought that over for 1.6 seconds. In a less sarcastic tone, it said, "You dislike your function. I don't understand how that is possible." Its function was traveling through what it thought of as the endlessly fascinating sensation of space, and keeping all its human and otherwise passengers safe inside its metal body. Of course, it didn't understand not wanting to perform your function. Its function was great. I like parts of my function. I liked protecting people and things. I liked figuring out smart ways to protect people and things. I liked being right. Then why are you here? You are not a free bot looking for your guardian, who presumably cannot simply be sent a message via the public comm relay on the transit ring we recently departed. The question caught me by surprise, because I hadn't thought it was interested in anything besides itself. I hesitated, but it already knew I was a sec unit, and it already knew there was just no circumstance where it was legal and okay that I was here. It might as well know who I was.
I sent my copy of the Port Free Commerce Newsburst into the feed.
That's me.
Dr. Mensa of Preservation Ox purchased you and allowed you to leave?
Yes. Do you want to watch World Hoppers again?
I regretted the question an instant later. It knew that was an attempt at a distraction. But it said, I am not allowed to accept unauthorized passengers or cargo, and have had to alter my log to hide any evidence of your presence. There was a hesitation.
So we both have a secret.
I had no reason not to tell it, except fear of sounding stupid. I left without permission. She offered me a home with her on Preservation, but she doesn't need me there. They don't need sec units there, and I didn't know what I wanted, if I wanted to go to Preservation or not. If I want a human guardian, which is just a different word for owner. I knew it would be easier to escape from the station than it would from a planet, so I left. Why did you let me on board? I thought maybe I could distract it by getting it to talk about itself.
Wrong again. It said, I was curious about you, and cargo runs are tedious without passengers.
You left to travel to Ravi Hyrule Mining Facility Q Station. Why?
I left to get off Port Free Commerce, away from the company.
It waited.
After I had a chance to think, I decided to go to Ravi Hyrule. I need to research something, and that's the best place to do it.
I thought the mention of research might stop its questions, since it understood research.
Nope, not so much.
There were public library feeds available on the transit ring, with information exchanged to the planetary archives.
Why not do the research there?
My onboard archives are extensive.
Why haven't you sought access to them?
I didn't answer. It waited 30 whole seconds, then it said, The systems of constructs are inherently inferior to advanced bots. But you aren't stupid.
Yeah, well, fuck you too, I thought, and initiated a shutdown sequence.